Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I am so excited for our guest on this edition of the show. We're going to dive right in with her because I want to make sure we have time to cover every game. Cynthia Freeland is all about the data science. She makes the math, the analytics, as well as the stats come alive in a way that you can understand them, I can understand them, and they really fit the framework of football. So she's our favorite math nerd, and I do say that with all the affection possible. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home in a simple way to get it, Rocket can. From NFL Network in Los Angeles, we're pleased to welcome Cynthia Freeland. And Cynthia, I want to dive right in so we can make sure we get to all of the games that we've seen so far, wild card weekend. I don't know, maybe you've got one, but it's going to blow me away if you do. Some type of statistic, some type of odds or number that would indicate we've seen this kind of finish in Dallas before, or the chances that we would see this finish between Niners and Cowboys.
Yeah, that one was, I don't know if anyone has any numbers on that one. There are some things to note about, like, the last few minutes with the clock management and some of the decisions, but that was highly highly. I mean, they had beaten themselves up earlier in the game so much with those 14 penalties and all of the, like, strange mismanagement of, you know, they did that fake punt that was actually a pass, and like, which was a good move, but then they were so disjointed after that they totally blew the clock on that one.
I would agree with you. It seems like everything else in that game for Dallas has to be put inside the frame of shooting yourselves in your own feet with the constant flags, how many holding penalties on both sides of the ball, the pre-snap penalties over and over. You point out the fake punt only to have a delay of game. It just seemed like that was the main story of the game, as much as people will focus on the clock running out and that bizarre ending.
Yeah, the penalties were actually the beginning of the game, it was all about penalties. That first half, the difference in penalty yards told almost everything you need to know. The fact that they got back in it in the end was a credit to them, but sheesh, like, you know, without those turnovers at the end, that game would have been much different and it would have been their own fault. They gave up yards and yards and yards of penalties.
The Niners obviously have been able to play their best football over this last 10-game stretch where they're 8-2 now, winning this game on the road. And I love their formula. To me, it feels like old Smash Mouth football, Cynthia, where you cannot beat them if you can't get the ball away from them. And they're so good at controlling the line of scrimmage. And once again, that really stands out in this matchup against Dallas.
Yeah, that was a major point of emphasis. I mean, look, Debo Samuel, like, they didn't have an answer for him. Like, I saw Micah Parsons, neutral zone infraction, and that was in part because they were trying to have an answer for Debo. I actually don't really blame Micah for that. It was not one of their sloppier penalties. That one was one that was actually like, okay, I can kind of understand it. But they didn't have an answer for Debo. Really, they were giving them a lot of the same look, just mixing up who was in which formation. The Niners weren't even showing them any of their best stuff. I track every single play from every single game. And the Niners were just basically running the same play over and over again. I mean, there were a few different options on the play each time, but like, they didn't do much there. The simplicity of it was what made it so brilliant.
As you've looked back over what the Niners have done on this stretch where they've gone 8-2 and of course got into the playoffs in their last game and now win on the road in the postseason, what jumps out about this very simple formula?
Well, the offense is really simple, but the defense is actually, the thing they're doing is really interesting. They're getting pressure without blitzing. So they only can bring four rushers, which means they can drop back in coverage. And then what's happening is they're either getting a significant pressure, so one that results in, you know, a thrown away ball, a sack, something where you're not advancing the ball or you're not advancing the ball enough to stay kind of ahead of the downs, right? The downs and distances. So what's happening there is they're taking risks. Now, you can beat them. That's how the Rams came out in that last game in the first half in week 18. And they came and they started off really strong because they were challenging them to rush the ball and then beating them in coverage. But then, unfortunately, that defense adapted and then Sean McVay did not. So in this game, they didn't have to adapt. But once the Niners get out to lead for against any team, it's going to be hard for them to beat them. It's just they're a very hard time of possession type of team, but their defense is beatable with that. So what they're doing is they're taking high risk, and this game, it totally paid off.
It seems like the one time that, I guess it jumps out at me, that Dak was able to beat the coverage was when they brought more than just the front four.
Yep.
And there was man-on-man back into the end zone, and he was able to go deep over the top to Amari Cooper. Otherwise, San Francisco was able to get pressure on Dak just by staying home.
Exactly. And interestingly enough, I had Dak made some, like, there were some interesting play calls, and it wasn't necessarily Dak's decision making. It was more like some of the play design was very confusing. I don't understand why they didn't put Tony Pollard in earlier, why the things that worked for them, then, like, they would work and then they would abandon those principles, or they would, you know, go in a different direction that was kind of based on different sort of rhythm. So it was an interesting game from that standpoint too. So this was not a good outing for the Cowboys, like, at all. Like, it was messy.
It definitely was. Cynthia Freeland is busy charting all kinds of numbers and plays and win and loss probabilities from Sunday's wild card games. And she's with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So the game between Pittsburgh and Kansas City is one that started so slowly. First points of the game come with TJ Watt and a fumble recovery on defense. And then, boom, all of a sudden, oh my goodness, it's almost like you can see the Chiefs flip a switch, Cynthia.
How crazy was that? In the beginning of the game, the Pittsburgh defense had a good game plan for taking away kind of the things Patrick Mahomes wanted to do. Meaning he didn't, you know, Patrick Mahomes doesn't want to check the ball down. He doesn't want to look for his third option, second option. And they took away his first option. And he was kind of trying to make it happen. And then once he started, you know, taking those check downs or those shorter passes or those kind of run plays or short passes that are designed run screens, et cetera, then the other bigger stuff opened up. And then you saw that happen to close out. Then the game got out of reach. But, like, you know, essentially in the beginning, they did shut down. They did a good job of getting pressure and shut enough to shut down the things that Patrick was looking to do. Tyreek, Travis, those things.
Every time I watch the Chiefs go turbo, as I call it, which is when they just all of a sudden, they look like a freight train and they can pile up points in no time flat, it is exceptional the speed that they have on the field, not just Tyreek Hill, but I know that you were tweeting about Travis Kelce's speed, even for a man his size, the fact that he can find some space and then accelerate. It's amazing to watch these guys work in space.
Yeah, I mean, Travis Kelce had his number one and number two fastest individual plays for the season in this past game. And you don't reach your top speed unless two things happen. Number one, you got to run for a little bit. It can't be like a, you know, catch in the end zone, right? And number two, you have to have space so no one touches you. So all of this, like, ahead of the game, any receiver who had lined up in the slot, the Steelers gave up the fourth highest completion percentage. This is before the game started, even in the entire league, fourth highest completion percentage to slot receivers. Well, Travis Kelce, his first five completions or his first five targets were all out of the slot. All of them were receptions, and they had no answer. There was no, the space didn't work out. They didn't have the arsenal to slow that down.
Cynthia Freeland of NFL Network with us here helping us look at wild card weekend through a different lens. We love when she brings the numbers and the next gen stats. It's after hours, CBS Sports Radio. So the first game on Sunday, it always impresses me the way that Tom Brady can take guys that maybe haven't had a whole lot of snaps or many reps on the field and yet turn them into world beaters. And we saw that again with so many players missing for the Bucs, and yet it's next man up always with them.
I'm not discounting anything the Eagles were doing, but when your defense is on the field for that long, they're going to get tired. So Tom Brady didn't even take a deep pass in the first half. Didn't even take a deep attempt in the first half, right? He had like three intermediate attempts and two of them were hauled in. The rest were under 10 air yard attempts. So these were short passes to begin with. And that's smart because it gets people in rhythm. Now, those deep passes, you're going to need those when you get further in this tournament, right? Like against the next opponent, there's going to be deep passes are going to be the thing that makes it happen. So when I'm looking at this one, and obviously Monday night determines who that opponent is, but when I'm looking at this one, I'm like, okay, next man up is great, but that is a source of concern because is it, you know, are they going to be able to consistently run without Leonard Fournette or who, like that was a surprise sort of last minute scratch. It seems like that could be okay. And there was a lot of their O-line. I mean, losing their right tackle, Tristan Wirfs, like if he doesn't come back, like that's the thing. So there's a few things that are question marks because there's only so much next man. Maybe for wide receivers, Tom Brady can make a next man up, but for a right tackle, it's going to be a lot harder.
They did rush for over 100 yards, and you point out that offensive line has been so good, though it lost two guys. Brady saw a little more pressure late in the game, but I also think when you use those short passes, Cynthia, you end up simulating a bit of a run game, if that makes sense, meaning you're getting rid of the ball quickly so that the pass rush can't get to the quarterback.
Yeah, well, that's part of how Tom Brady stays out of pressure just always. However, like I said, you go further in that tournament. Let's say it's the Rams. That guy, Aaron Donald, he comes at you pretty quick. So especially those guys who line up on the interior like that, like it's just something to, I'm not suggesting that it's bad. I'm just, you know, or it's just something to watch because your O-line, that right tackle especially, I mean, I think you can ask the Chargers, they can tell you a little something about Max Crosby coming off that, you know, off their right tackle when they met up, you know, in week 18. But, you know, it's going to matter. It's going to matter for Tom Brady going forward, too.
Cynthia Freeland with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, I need some numbers to give me framework and context for what Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase have done over the last month because they have been tearing up defenses.
Yeah, I mean, a pretty historic pace. The interesting part about what happened with Ja'Marr Chase more than just over the last month was, you know, he started off really strong and they have that chemistry from college together.
Right.
And then defenses started to be like, oh yeah, we actually have to account for this rookie. So he kind of had his like sophomore slump in the middle of this season and he worked it out to the tune of probably earning himself offensive rookie of the year. I'd be surprised if he doesn't win it at this point. And now in a playoff game, being able to diagnose, you know, the type of defense, and by the way, Casey Hayward for the Raiders is a very, very strong corner. So it's not like he was just lined up against people who were subpar competition, right? This is a guy who now Ja'Marr Chase has figured out kind of the way that corners work and how to operate and worked it out with his quarterback who, I mean, Joe Burrow should be talked about, I think, at the least comeback player of the year. And I don't think it's ridiculous to talk about him as the MVP as well.
Okay. So just out of curiosity, if you had to vote for comeback player of the year, would you go Burrow over Nick Bosa, who comes back from an ACL himself and has 15 and a half sacks for the Niners?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a strong option as well. Like, you know, Dak taking them to the playoffs and hosting a home playoff game. That one's one as well. I just have to say, at the beginning of the season, I mean, look, the Niners are 2 years out of having been to a Super Bowl, and so it's not like it's expected, but that's a good team. I think everyone thought the Bengals were fourth in their division, and for them to go from fourth to first like this and end up, you know, winning a playoff game, it's just hard to argue that Joe Burrow that's not disproportionate value at the most valuable position. So the comeback situation feels bigger there. And I'm not taking anything away from Nick Bosa. It's just the perception ahead of the season of the Niners being a playoff, you know, playoff or more team, whereas the Bengals are kind of like, maybe another year out, maybe two.
It's clear, too, that Burrow has so many weapons at his disposal. It's amazing how much he can spread the ball around. It's not like you can just latch on to Ja'Marr Chase and make sure that you know where he is at all times. They've got a C.J. Uzama who really came on and can make some noise at the tight end position. And Joe Mixon has had a fantastic year as well.
And T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd has stepped up when he's been asked.
Like, yes.
They've got a lot of options, and their O-line is not good. So I know that, you know, they have this crazy offense, but Joe Burrow's succeeding in spite of a not good offensive line. It's not the worst in the league, but it's not the best by any, like, it's not even average. So he, like, that is even more, makes it even more impressive to me.
Is there a particular stat, or maybe it's just a characteristic of the Raiders that, that you'll remember about their run this season, even though it ended in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, they had the, from start to finish, from week one through week 19 now, they had the highest pressure rate in the league from a defensive front. And this last game, they didn't have it, but it particular. But if you average it out over the whole thing, like, they led from start to finish. And it wasn't just like one game where they got like some 10 sacks or 11 sacks, something crazy like that. It was start to finish. So, you know, that's super impressive. When you can get that defensive front, Max Crosby, you know, obviously highlights that that unit. But when you can do that from start to finish, that's really impressive.
And that leaves us with the one game, and I on purpose left this one for the end because I remember that you were in Orchard Park. You were at the Bills preseason games, and I wonder what the difference in temperature was from when you were there. What was it, August, I guess you were there?
I had to cut off my sleeves because I was so hot. It was like the real feel was like 110 or something crazy. It was so hot. I drank like maybe 8 Gatorades, and I don't even like Gatorades. So I was so thirsty. It was crazy.
Would you prefer that and cutting off sleeves to wearing 17 layers and trying to protect all your skin with wind chills below zero like it was Saturday night?
I mean, I don't like being cold at all, but I would have really loved to be at that game. I mean, that's a special team. It's a special environment. I would have loved to see those fans. Like, those fans, like, they're just the best. They were so fun to be around and listen to, and they love their Bills, and it shows, and how crazy they are standing out there in that cold, but they're the kindest people. Like, just, I don't know. So I would have liked to go see it in the cold, even in the cold, because I feel like you would have gotten the real experience. And then I could go back to California where, you know, 60 is getting cold.
Yes, Cynthia Freeland is with us from L.A., where she's obviously all over the playoffs. And as she says, week 19 now. It's been a long haul with NFL Network. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. So then thinking about that game, maybe the Bills' best offensive performance of the season. Definitely a complete game. I love that they saved it for this playoff game with the fans in the stands. What are some cool numbers from Josh Allen's amazing performance?
I mean, I think it's interesting. Like, look, his perfect passer rating was actually because of a short touchdown pass instead of a deeper one, whatever. Long story short, some stupid metric that messed up his perfect passer rating for the game that is like, it's so stupid. So that number is kind of garbage. But when I look to see the fact that, you know, it's really a credit to like his ability, Josh Allen's ability to figure out, like he got better as that game went on. Now, I mean, they started off strong, but it becomes easier once it the score really gets away from you. But the turning point of that game when it went to be about a 3-score game, you know, Josh Allen was figuring out how to throw his receivers open into great coverage. J.C. Jackson is a great corner. Nothing to be taken away from him. Those balls were thrown really well. The game plan was executed perfectly. The receivers where they needed to be, and it just was placed perfectly. So it was kind of the perfect storm against the corner. There's not much you can do about that.
So that was a rematch in division, obviously, the third game between Bills and Patriots, all of them really different. And now we've got another rematch coming up on Monday night in Los Angeles. That is a place where you've been at SoFi Stadium. And so Cardinals and Rams, what are a couple of factors that you'll be looking at on Monday night?
Rams are without their a couple of safeties, and they're already one of the areas you can target them is at the linebacker level. So the middle of their field is a little soft in terms of stopping, you know, passes or even runs that kind of are the responsibility of that linebacker safety sort of area. So that makes it where, you know, Zach Ertz could have a pretty big role on this game, and it could also mean that Kyler Murray's ability to scramble and run and be, you know, use his legs or James Conner if he's available for this game. You know, obviously those two. And I like their other running backs, but James Conner in specifically, because I think that's the kind of person that a linebacker would have a hard time, a replacement linebacker would have a harder time bringing down. So that one really sticks out to me. I'm interested to see how many snaps J.J. Watt will play. It's kind of been rumored that he's going to have some sub packages and some specific situations that he'll go in for. that could be kind of a problem too, because we've seen this Rams O-line have up and down performances and they kind of go the way their O-line goes. I saw a lot of things last week. I was at the San Francisco game, the San Francisco and Rams game in SoFi Stadium. I'm going to tell you, it was just as much red as it was blue. So I don't know how much red and blue there will be this time, but because I think Niners fans really do travel in mass, but that place is loud and crazy. And I don't care if I don't know if you get a home team advantage, that thing's just chaos. Like no matter what, it's super fun. Anyone should go to a game there if they can. But I think it's going to be interesting to see, like, the Cardinals came in here and won earlier this season. So that pressure on Matthew Stafford is going to be, like, physical pressure, not mental pressure. Physical pressure is going to be hard.
You can find Cynthia on Twitter at C Freeland, and she's got the data science covered for the NFL on NFL Network. And whether she works from home or works from studio, she always brings great joy and energy. And so, Cynthia, we're glad to have you with us. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to see you in person, hopefully soon.
Yes, absolutely. I look forward to that. I say that with a lot of our guests. When are our paths going to cross for reals? And Cynthia, one of our favorite guests here, but also one of the coolest chicks. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. We've just put up a wide open question. What was the wildest thing you saw on Wild Card Weekend? That's easy, right? Because as much as many of you, like me, may instantly think of the finish in the Cowboys-Niners game, what about the inadvertent whistle in the Bengals-Raiders game? We're going to get to that, as well as Buccaneers-Eagles, which was the first of the triple header on Sunday. A Wild Card Weekend with plenty of drama and some really impressive individual performances as well. So find us on Twitter or on Facebook, and our phone number 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After Hours Podcast.
Perriman is a slot receiver. Here's the snap. Feed the ball to the run up the gut. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Giovanni Bernard.
Gio Bernard. Right up the gut.
Vaughn is in the backfield. Brady under center. They hand it off to Vaughn. Goes to his left into the end zone. Touchdown, Tampa. He plunges right in for the second score of the day for the Buccaneers. It's 13-0 Tampa Bay.
Here's the snap. Feed the ball. Play action fake. Thousand with a caught ball. Easy touchdown. Easy touchdown. Gronkowski. Here's the play. Dropping to throw. Brady looks toward the end zone. Throws. Caught ball. Evans. He's got a Tampa Bay touchdown. Does a somersault. And the Bucs put the dagger in the heart of the Eagles.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Defense of the Super Bowl ring begins at home for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the opening drive should have been an indication not just to the Eagles, but to the rest of the NFL that they are in playoff mode. Tom Brady is now in playoff mode. Even the opening drive, methodical and surgical, there was no time necessary for them to find their rhythm. With all of the injuries with all of the athletes who've just up and walked off the field, with all of the mixing and matching on the Bucks offense and defense, they still find a way to redefine next man up. That's just what they do. It's who they are. And a lot of it has to do with their leadership, not just Bruce Arians, but also Todd Bowles. I do love a fired up Todd Bowles. He was plenty fired up in this game against the Eagles. But also a Byron Leftwich, and of course, Tom Brady and the other veterans on that roster. 12 plays, 75 yards, Giovanni Bernard. Boom. That was the first drive. And the Buccaneers were off and running. Meanwhile, the Eagles managed just 17 yards in the first quarter, their lowest of any quarter all season long. Just one first down. I thought it was interesting, somewhat arrogant, but if you can walk the walk, well, then it's okay if you talk the talk. Todd Bowles was asked whether or not he was concerned about the Eagles' ability to run the football. They led the league in rushing yards per game. He said he wasn't concerned. He wasn't worried. And he didn't need to be, the way the Buccaneers play defense. They were already up 17-0 at the half after dominating the second quarter. Mike Edwards leaps in front of a wide receiver for an interception off Jalen Hurts. That's in the end zone. Talk about demoralizing in the final minute of the half. But the Philadelphia defense did manage to get to Tom Brady. Three consecutive sacks on third down in the second quarter. And so at least they were putting pressure on Brady. But it really all came apart for the Eagles in the third quarter. And you hear some of the calls there with Gene Deckerhoff on Bucks radio and then Tom McCarthy on Westwood One. I tweeted this because it just seemed, it seems so appropriate. The Buccaneers don't need your help, Philadelphia, but if you would like to give them turnovers and short fields, well, sure, they'll take it if you're offering. In the third quarter, we see Jalen Reagor bobble and fumble a punt, leading to Gronk's touchdown catch. And the very next Philadelphia drive, Shaq Barrett picks off Jalen Hurts on a tipped throw on fourth down, tips it up in the air to himself, hauls it in, and one snap later, Brady finds Mike Evans for 36 yards. And at that point, it's 31-0, and you could go take a break, find some food, walk your dog, before the next game kicked off. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll let you hear from Philadelphia first. Obviously, not the way that Nick Sirianni wanted to finish the season, but he doesn't believe that they were overwhelmed by the aura of the Buccaneers.
We know that you can't make mistakes like that in the playoffs against a really good football team, and we did. I don't want to say the moment got too big for them. I just think we made some mistakes. Coaching, it always starts with me as a coach. There were some coaching mistakes, and you know there's going to be guys that are going to want some plays back out there. But I didn't feel and I didn't sense for a moment that the moment was too big for them. It was a great atmosphere here. I never felt that out there. We just didn't make some plays. And we didn't coach good enough at the end of the day.
We'll be back, and this is a feeling that will kind of simmer in our hearts, simmer for us all. And with the youth on this football team, definitely coming back hungry. This game does not define us. It does not define who we are. It does not define us at all. And we know all the different things that we've overcome. We know the environment that we built as a football team and the organization. With the youth we've had, and which I've talked about all year, I know as a football team we'll be back.
Jalen Hurts confident that this is just a stepping stone for the Eagles. 258 yards passing for him, a touchdown, couple of interceptions. But get this. Even with the defensive losses, meaning injuries, the Buccaneers were able to hit him 10 times, a couple of sacks, and 10 recorded hits. Now, Tom Brady was sacked 4 times after the Buccaneers had to mix and match their offensive linemen. They lost a couple. We just talked about this with Cynthia Freeland and wondering how this will affect them moving forward. But the team still rushed for over 100 yards. Mike Evans still had 117 yards receiving. And ultimately, they weren't able to get Tom Brady out of his rhythm a whole lot. And so I thought it was cool to hear what the guys on Fox had to say. So this would have been Joe Buck and I'm reminding myself, Troy Aikman. Troy said that Tom Brady told them he decides what he's going to do with the football before he ever takes the snap. So he sees the defense. He knows what they're in. He knows what they're attempting to do. And he's already decided where he's either throwing the football or who he's handing off to, which way he's going and how he's playing it before the ball is ever snapped. And you know, in order to avoid getting hit, what does Brady do? He gets rid of the ball quickly. He either throws it within 2 seconds or he hands it off. And so that ability to decipher the defense, to see what they're doing, what formations they're in, and know even before you snap the ball what you're going to do with it, that is from wisdom and experience, and there is no shortcut to that. And there's also very, very few ways that you can counter that. And that's what he's earned.
Once Tom figures you out, man, you're in trouble. And the wind didn't even affect him at all, and he was extremely accurate on the right guys. I mean, that was a dime he threw to Mike for that long touchdown. And, yeah, he's a surgeon, man. I mean, once he figures you out and we can put him in a position and protect him, he's gonna eat you up.
Just trying to figure out a way to move the ball down the field and score some points. I thought we did a good job in a couple of those areas. We ran the ball really well. Line played great. Receivers played great. Tight ends played great. So used a lot of different people, and everyone got in there, made some plays to help the team win.
When he came to this team, I knew it was going to be – he was going to change the franchise. And, you know, he's done that and then some. He makes sure we're all ready to play. He makes sure we know what we're doing. And he makes sure that we're giving it our all. And that's all you can ask from a leader.
Mike Evans with a great performance. And Rob Gronkowski right there in the middle of everything all the time. I don't know if you guys saw the pregame interview between Aaron Andrews and Gronk. But he seems like he would be – such a fun guest to have when you can get him where he's relaxed. So he jokes. He is also kidding not only about the weather being too cold, but he loves to talk about Brady, of course. It was a cool interview between Aaron and Gronk. And I do love the fact that he's healthy, the fact that he's come back and we get to see this Hall of Fame form from him when he's on the field. And, of course, he's always good for the sound bites.
We play some complementary football, offensive, defensive, and special teams. You know, we all contributed, all played off each other, and that's how you win playoff games. You got to bring it in all three phases at all times. Definitely, you know, like the way that the team was playing this week, you know, in this game. There's no doubt about that. And just, you know, the level of intensity that the defense came out with, it was just, you know, exceptional. We just had to match them on the offensive side of the ball, and we did at times for sure.
Rob Gronkowski back in playoff
form. We played some complementary football.
Both he and Brady are much looser. I mean, Gronk was always loose off the field, but much looser with the Bucs. And it's just a different type of culture. It's not wrong the way that Bill Belichick ran his culture, runs his culture in New England. Obviously, it's one of the reasons why they've been so successful. But it's different in Tampa, and you can tell that both Brady and Gronk enjoy it. All right, you can find me on Twitter, @AlawRadio. Coming up, we're going to get to your calls as well as your responses to our post on social. What is the wildest thing you saw Wild Card Weekend? We still have more reaction fallout, we'll call it, from the Cowboys and the Niners. And I think it's fascinating how quick people are to point the finger and call for someone's head on a platter in Dallas. But here's the crazy part. I saw calls for Dak to be traded. I saw calls for Mike McCarthy to be fired. I saw calls for Kellen Moore to be fired. I saw calls for Jerry Jones to give up his general manager position. Oh my gosh, make up your mind. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
To the After Hours podcast.
The snap. Josh going to throw it. Takes 3 steps back. Has all day long to scan the field. Waiting. Still has time. Runs to his right. Now he's pressured. Gets away from it. Fires one into the end zone and it is caught. Dawson Knox makes the catch in the end zone. It's a Buffalo touchdown. How did he make that happen? Patriots in the Bills 34. Snap. Mac Jones pumps once. Fires down the left sideline. Got a man down there. It is bobbled and it is intercepted by Micah Hyde. In the end zone, the Bills get the touchback. Allen in the gun. The snap. Josh waits to throw. Guns one straight down the middle. Caught. Touchdown. Dawson Knox. Touchdown Buffalo. His second touchdown of the game. And the Bills are up by 13-0 now.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Pretty incredible to see the Buffalo Bills offense and the way it was able to incorporate all facets of the game and so many weapons. And Josh Allen playing the way that Josh Allen is capable of at the absolute highest level and against a division rival. On Saturday night, with temperatures in the single digits and wind chills below zero, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You could see it coming on the initial drive. Buffalo marches 70 yards. First time the Bills have the ball, they go 70 yards with big run plays. Josh Allen taking off twice, actually, 26 yards, 15 yards. And then he scrambles to extend a play and lofts this ball, which he says was an accident. He lofts a ball to Dawson Knox in the back of the end zone as the tight end is stretching out backward to haul in the first touchdown of the game. Josh said afterwards he was attempting to throw the ball away and he just didn't get it far enough out of the end zone. Ha ha. The second Buffalo drive comes after a brilliant interception snagged by Micah Hyde. Diving play in front of the receiver. And that's off Mac Jones in the end zone. Buffalo goes the other way, 88 yards. Dawson Knox with the second touchdown of the game. A third drive for Buffalo, 81 yards. Really, the only flaw in the first half for Buffalo was a blocked point after attempt. Fourth drive, 45 yards. Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs over the top. Sets up the Devin Singletary touchdown. It's already 27-3 at the half. The Bills are locked in, 4-for-4 in the red zone with 300 yards of offense in the first half. Largest halftime deficit in a playoff game under Bill Belichick for these New England Patriots. And it's really more of the same in the second half. A tipped ball interception by Mac Jones leads to this deep touchdown pass from Josh Allen to Emmanuel Sanders. And so Buffalo ultimately scores touchdowns on all 7 possessions except for that end of game kneel down. First team in the Super Bowl era ever to score on the first 7 possessions of a playoff game, and the first team ever in NFL history to go without a punt, a field goal, or a turnover in the postseason.
Everything's coming up, Buffalo.
Nerd alert. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Ultimately, they had to dig pretty darn deep in their playbook just to keep things interesting.
The snap. Josh keeps it off play action, fires to the end zone. You called it, Eric. Touchdown, Buffalo. The pass to rookie Tommy Doyle, the big man touchdown. Touchdown, Bills. They are pouring it on now. This game's out of control.
I'm sick for Emmanuel Sanders because he's played 100 years in this league, and tonight was his first playoff touchdown. Tommy Doyle plays 1 game and gets a touchdown. He's a freaking lineman, so it sucks for him, but, you know, I'm glad Eve's first touchdown was with us.
It's easy to make jokes when your team puts 47 points on the board. Josh Allen, near perfect. We actually talked about this with Cynthia Freeland. It was some ridiculous metric that kept him from having a perfect passer rating, but he was pretty damn close. 157.6. 21 of 25, 308 yards, 5 touchdown passes to 4 different targets, including the offensive lineman, Tommy Doyle. Buffalo rushes for 174 yards as a team, and this is gaudy. Listen to this. 6 for 6 in the red zone, 6 for 7 on third down. They only had 7 third downs the entire game. That's saying something. And the best part, the fans. In Buffalo, the fans getting the chance to brave the cold, yelling and screaming and jumping up and down to stay warm, and finally watching the Bills in triumph.
It's one game. It really is. It's one game. I'm more happy for our fans. It's not often a coach can enjoy the last 6 minutes of a game and kind of look up in the stands and see the fans enjoying it at home, and I'm happy for them more than anything.
Just on all cylinders, you know, we always talk about being two-dimensional. The way Motor's been running the ball has been unbelievable. The movement of the line's getting up front. You know, it seems like we could have done anything we wanted to out there. And that's just a testament to how hard everyone works, just doing their 111th. And there's been a lot of movement on the line, you know, like injuries, guys having to switch positions mid-game. And so it truly is a testament to them and how hard they work day in and day out.
Obviously, we didn't play how we wanted to play, and every game's different, and we didn't have a chance to win the game, and it starts with me, you know, just getting momentum early and not putting ourselves in that position. I do appreciate everybody on our team for having my back, and I wish I could have played better, and obviously, we want to win every game we play in, and hopefully, we'll get a chance, you know, to have a really good offseason and funnel it into next year.
Mac Jones with a couple of touchdowns, but a couple of interceptions as well. 3 sacks in there. And so the Patriots come up short, but I don't think this season was a disappointment. It is disappointing that they did not win this game. But with a rookie quarterback who started from the very beginning, and with the, I don't want to say rebuilding, because that's not what the Patriots were doing, but they were reloading. They brought in a bunch of new pieces. I do believe they need to shore up the defense a little bit. You've got some older guys on defense, specifically in the secondary. But I like the way that the Patriots were able to bounce back after what was a tough year in 2020 following the departure of Tom Brady. And to get to double-figure wins and make the playoffs, to rally and have a chance to win the AFC East late in the season, to me, this is a big step for the Patriots post-Brady. Not everyone's going to see it that way. I don't think this is a massive disappointment because I think the expectations were relatively low for the Pats this season. As for Buffalo, this is the Bills flexing their muscles. This is the team that I hope we see at Kansas City next weekend, because if we get the Chiefs and the Bills and the way they played Wild Card Weekend clashing on the field in Arrowhead next weekend, we should get potentially one of the best games of the season. All right, what was the wildest thing you saw out of Wild Card Weekend? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. We'll get to your calls and your answers next. By the way, John Murphy and Eric Wood on Bills Radio. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.